You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Now, I was going to say the show may have jumped a shock having me on, but since my phone reception sucked and no one could understand a single word I said, I think we might be safe from the old shock jumping. But holy shit, was that horrendous! I mean, I sounded like I called from an underwater bathroom stall in outer space. Listen, I enjoyed talking to you boys, and I was absolutely appreciative, like I said, that you guys had me on. But the next time, if I sound like that, hang up on me. We're better than that. Play a Goodwill Hunting clip or something and get to the napkin talk. And as far as the Patriots go, you want to talk balls? How about the balls of Tom Brady? Throwing 4 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, calm, cool, and collected, bringing his team down and feel like a fucking doctor. And never mind that, what about the balls of Bill Belichick? I'm calling a timeout when time's running down, and these motherfuckers are on the 1-yard line. He knows that they're flustered. He knows his defense can make a play, and that takes balls not calling that timeout. And to add on top of that, what about the balls of my boy Julian Edelman? Motherfucker's like 3'4", running all over the field, catching tackles, cutting down the middle, taking the hits. Dude had a concussion. There's your ball talk. The Patriots got more balls than anybody out there. It's called hard, kid, and that's what the champs got. So the rest of you can take it on the chin. Later.
I am a patriot. I love my country. Because my country is all I know.
All right, we're on Pete and Sebastian Show. Hopefully, we're going to make this work, man.
Give us an update on the boat. Is you happy to be back? Are we having fun? I saw you tweet out something about the buffet.
Yeah, of course I'm not happy to be back. Why, you know, come on.
Bro, check this out. What a nightmare.
I gotta tell you my journey to get to this boat. So, first of all, leaving Buffalo, I wake up, I got a 6 a.m. flight, so I leave the house at like 3:45 in the morning, and it's 1 degree. And when the wind blows, they said with a wind chill, it's minus 12. So, now where I'm parking, I got, you know, I park up my buddies. So I got a walk, bro. I got a 20-minute walk in minus 10-degree wind chill at 4:35 in the morning.
Wait. Why are we walking?
That's a buddy of mine. His job, he owns a business right across the street from the airport. Right across the fucking street.
And I'm sure the listeners are trying to follow it as well. Just like I'm trying to follow what's going on here. You're going from Fredonia to Buffalo Airport, which is how far?
It's a solid 1-hour drive.
Okay, so a 1-hour drive to get to the airport. So Jackie don't want to have you leave the car there, which is understandable, for an extended amount of time, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you're going to park the car at your buddy's, which is literally right across the street from the airport, yet it's a 20-minute walk in 12-degree below zero weather.
Yes, because you, even though it's right across the street from an airport, I would imagine in your entire life, you've never physically walked onto an airport property and right up to the gate.
No, I've never been on foot and looked up and it said, "Welcome to so-and-so airport."
Well, but the reason I say that is because even though it's across the street, your average parking lot of an airport is enormous. And sometimes I'll literally go cut through long-term parking and I'll go up to one of those shuttles and the guy will pull up And then he goes to give me a ticket to remind me where my car is parked. So when I get the shuttle on the way back, I hand him my ticket, and he knows exactly where I'm parked. So I'll go to get on. He's like, where you parked? And I always just point to some fucking car, and I'm like, in a blue Datsun. I'm like, bro, I'm across the highway at my buddy's. Just take me to the gate, would you?
So did you pull this move?
No, because it was so cold, was so early, and it was so ridiculous that there was a man walking with a suitcase on the highway at 5 in the morning that the shuttle guy saw me a mile away. So, like, normally I can just get to the shuttle shelter thing and they think I got out of a car and they miss me. But with this case, yeah, they're like, look at this fucking yo-yo coming across the highway. Dragging my suitcase. The wheels don't even matter because it's snow. I'm just dragging it in snow.
Oh, God.
No,
the poor guy.
Knowing I got to get there early enough to, after I get through security, completely stripped down. Like, you ever see Bear Grylls when he crosses an icy river and then he takes everything off and gets in front of the fire? God.
Yeah, I'm with you here.
I get through security, get on the plane, and now this is something I sent Lou separate. I wish I could play it for you now. The woman behind me, bro, wouldn't stop coughing. Would not, just every 2 seconds. I put on my recorder and I recorded it. Lou will play it.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, and then I land in Miami, and it's like 11, like I said, 11:25, and I wait for my bag. All the bags come out. My bag doesn't come. I go up to the counter, and I say, my bag's not here. So the lady goes, I have my ticket thing, so she looks at it, and she's like, your bag never made it. They're putting it on the next plane out of Charlotte, and that's going to land in Miami at 2 o'clock. I go, I got to get on a boat. And she's like, well, what time does your boat leave? I said, well, they said I got to be there no later than 2. And she's like, well, I wouldn't leave your bag here because your bag's going to be sitting here and they're not going to be able to get it to you on whatever island or wherever you are. I'm like, holy shit. Now, I have no way of getting a hold of the boat people. I have no phone number for anybody. All I have is like a contact for the office that books you. So then I go up to the Norwegian desk where they're picking up guests. And I'm like, listen, I'm on the boat. I'm a comedian. What time does the boat leave? And they're like, I think usually it leaves at like 3:30, but if you're not on it by 2:30, it could be a problem, this, that. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. And they're like, well, we don't have anyone we can contact. So then I called Derek, our manager, and he's like, oh, man, I talked to the person in charge, the booker, and she's like, just wait for your bag. You should be okay. You should be okay? I don't want to be stuck at a dock in Miami, man, right? So I'm waiting, freaking out. Finally, my bag comes on that later flight, right? I'm waiting. It's like the last bag. I grab it. I get in a cab. I'm like, take me to the place. It's already 2:30. I pull up in front of where the boats are, right? And it's so scary, bro, because normally the place is bustling with people, so excited, and cabs everywhere. There is nobody there. Nobody. The boats are, but nobody's there. So I go to get out of my cab. I hand the guy the credit card, and he's like, cash only. I'm like, guy, I don't even have cash right now. I mean, I did, but it was in my bag. I'm a fucking fishing in my bag right now. And he goes, cash only, cash only. I go, guy, it's credit card or I run, bro. Your choice. So he quick swipes it. I grab my shit. I run up to the thing. Dude, they're lifting up the fucking ramp. It's halfway up. The guy on the ramp, I just happen to know him. He's a sweetheart of a guy who works in safety. He lowers the ramp. They let me on. He's like, dude, that's so not allowed. I got to refill out the paperwork, but don't worry about it. I go, I thought you didn't leave till like 3:30, 4. And he's like, no, last person on. Once we have him on, we try to beat the other boats out. I'm like, holy shit.
Man.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you missed this damn thing?
Oh, God. Especially since during the layover, I mean, during the part where I'm in Miami waiting for my bag, is when I had the call with my showrunner. Again, it's whatever. It's like not official. Like, we haven't officially gotten a call from CBS, but he's like, I talked to the studio and they're not going to do our show's not, they're not making our show. So, can you imagine on top of that, just finding out the sitcom show's not going and now I'm sitting on the edge of a dock? Oh my, I can't even get on the boat to jump off it.
Hey, Russell. Don't jump! Jump!
So what do you mean you get a word from CBS? I mean, give us an explanation. The studio got wind from the network, and then, what do you mean?
All right, well, this is officially how it went for me, from my end, the storyline, okay? I didn't even know about this deadline until I spoke to you, because that's when you saw a sitcom on CBS that got picked up. Yeah. So for anyone who's like not into Hollywood, who listens to our show, doesn't know, Deadline is this website you go to, and they literally, the minute a network buys a script and says we're making a pilot, I guess someone says the info directly to Deadline, and it'll literally say 17 minutes ago, Fox just buys Jimmy Fallon's latest project. It's like that up to date, mm-hmm. right? I got so addicted to this thing. I'm walking around the house going, Jack, they picked up a third. They got a fourth. You know? Because they keep buying more and more. So anyway, they bought like, CBS bought like 5 or 6 sitcoms that day, right? And it seems to me, I don't know how many they're buying. That seems like it's a wrap. So I go directly to the producer and I email him saying, hey, you know, I see it's not going to happen. They even bought something else. By the way, dude, my producer, and I saw yours too, that guy Garcia, and and my guy Kaplan. My guy Kaplan sold everything but mine. As far as scripts, I go to Jackie. He sold so many scripts. He sold stuff that wasn't even scripts. I think he sold the menu at the fucking commissary for ABC. he sold the menu.
Oh God!
That guy
is a selling machine.
He was on fire. So so anyway, I send him an email. You know how, just a short email saying thanks. It was great and all this. And I know I'm sure we'll talk. I just wanted to. So he calls me later that day and he's like, "Yeah, man, it's not looking like it's happening." But I haven't gotten the official word yet, but, you know, I've been in contact with them, and the popular consensus is everybody really likes it, but, you know, nobody seems to love it, like the script. And the showrunner was really ticked, you know, upset, because he really wrote a great script.
So that's
where we're at, but so we haven't gotten the official, but we're done. But it was a good run. Now, how about yourself, man?
I got the official no.
Oh, man.
And I talked to the guy last night. It was... Just like you, you know, I'm hearing your story, and it's really, really parallels kind of mine, because, you know, we got a pass, but they're still interested. You know, it's like, what does that mean? And, you know, we didn't get a call from the network. We're hearing from the studio. Long story short, it's a pass. And, you know, again, you're in these positions where I'm sitting there thinking, they gotta take it. Just give me a shot. That's all I ask. I ain't looking for a 15-episode order. I'm just looking for a shot. Give me the pilot. Let me make a pilot. But that's a no-go.
Damn.
And I call my parents, of course, my father. He's swearing up and down. Like, the way my father reacted when I told him they're not picking it up, the amount of motherfuckers he threw out, you would have thought someone burned his house down. I I mean, the anger coming out of this man. He's saying, motherfucker, that don't know nothing. I'm like, Dad, okay, relax. So he took it like it was almost like a black funeral at my father's house where he was throwing himself on the body.
Yeah. My father just left one of those messages. It's so bouncy when he does this. He's like,
hey, it's your father. Can you just give us a call? Your mother and I are worried. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Why can't you just call up and say, hey, what's up? How you been? I haven't heard from you in a while. It's like, We're worried.
Yeah, it's like, do you owe a call? I mean, are you on a call system with your parents, in-laws, where, yeah, it's Tuesday, I gotta make that phone call to the parents, or do you just call whenever you feel like calling?
No, I usually call on Sunday is usually when I try to call once a week. And I know if like a little time goes by and I don't call that they're gonna wonder. Why, you sound like, you know, you call your mom when you got a tummy ache.
Oh, shit. Oh, that ain't far from the truth, man.
Yeah, I know, man. Put it this way, if you were a pro athlete, you would do one of those Campbell's Soup commercials with your mom, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's all you could do is put the best product out there and hope that they buy it. But, hey, it ain't the end of the world, right? We still got the cast.
You ain't whistling Dixie, baby. We still got the cast.
'Cause if you're not laughing, who is laughing now? I've been wondering if we start sinking, could we stand our ground? And through everything we've learned, we've finally
I have a basement that's like out of dirt floor and stuff. You can walk around it. I love it. It's old, but it's like all dirt. And the guy behind left a lot of wood back there. A lot of crap. And I've been always wanting to clean it out, and I've never had the time. So recently I've been cleaning it out day by day, and I got to the point where I have this big pile of wood, like shit wood, you know, like old cabinets from a kitchen cabinet, an old rocking chair, an old crib, like parts of a crib. I go, fuck this, right? I take all this wood, I drag it into my backyard behind my garage. I have this area where like my yard meets up with four other yards, all kind of corner. And I got a bunch of bricks around there, and I put it all in there, and I dump some gasoline on that motherfucker, and I start burning it, you know? And this is like, I don't know, it's like 8:30 in the morning. I told Jackie I'm going to the deli to get a cup of coffee and a paper, and I came home, and I'm like, something just kicked in. I'm like, I'm burning that shit. So I start burning it, and it's going great, you know, but it's getting kind of high. So the one neighbor comes out. And he does one of these passive-aggressive things. He goes, hey, is that even legal? Is that even legal? What the fuck? Here we go already with your legal. Would that bother you? Like, if you were in your backyard and you looked over the fence and your neighbor, in winter where everyone's windows is up, is literally burning shit wood. Not for hanging out, having beers, just, you know, debris, burning it.
I'd have to say if I looked out the window and saw a fire with wood and I saw you out there trying to manage it, I'd have to say something. It sounds like one good gust of wind and the whole neighborhood's up in flames.
The flames started to kick, and this is when I had to, as you would put it, shut it down, which I just thought was hilarious, and my father-in-law knows fucking everything. So I built this thing last year to like, you know, have a little campfire and stuff. Not a big monsoon where I'm burning furnished, you know, lacquered cabinet doors. But I have all these red bricks around it. And some of the bricks I have, you ever see those red bricks where they got little holes, three holes in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a couple, like maybe 10 of those are mixed in with this thing that goes around like a circle. And my father-in-law goes, oh, some of those red bricks, you know, they get too hot. They can't handle that heat. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And I remember going into Jackie and going, Jack, you fucking... now your dad's telling me that I have bricks that can't handle a fire? Who ever heard of a brick that can't handle fire? So the neighbor's standing there. He starts to walk away a little bit, not far away. Bro, the ones with the holes, those bricks, they got so hot, they started blowing up like, boom! and the fucking brick is flying and hitting the side of his house and hitting the side of my house. And Jackie comes out and she's like, what the fuck? What? I thought you were going for the paper. What are you doing? What is that noise? I go, the fucking bricks are getting so hot. Boom! They're blowing up. So I had to, she's like, put the goddamn thing out, get in here and get Sadie, I want to go upstairs and wash my hair. Oh my god, I had to dump snow over the whole goddamn thing. Now I got a tarp sitting over all this half burned wood. I'm waiting for my neighbor to leave town for a weekend so I can finish the job.
I have never in my entire life went into somebody's basement and it was covered with dirt. What? I've never heard of this.
Yo, dude, I told you, my house was built in 1880, and when you go into my basement, you can only get into my basement from a door outside. You can't get in from the house, but you go down there, and like, you can totally stand, and it's huge, but the big, you see the big posts coming down from the house that hold the whole house up, and they're all tree trunks, man. They're, you know, obviously not real live trees in the ground anymore, but they're just tree trunks. They're not even posts. Like, some still have the bark on them, and all around it on the ground, it's all just dirt, and the side walls are cement, obviously. And I told you, man, when I first...
So,
yeah.
Can you... Is this a type of basement, and I don't know how the basements were in the 1800s, but... Is this a type of basement that you could actually live in if you put down some cement and rug and drywall, or is this one of these like storage units?
When I first bought the house, the inspector told me, he's like, you don't want to cement this basement. He's like, then it's going to get mildew. He's like, these homes back in the day, like this house, it was built to last. This house is alive. The dirt floor is allowing this wood to breathe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, though, it would be a nice little area where you could almost make it your own, almost like a man cave, where if you did decide to fix it up, how cool would it be to have trees... Those big trees just in your basement.
Well, listen, man. I got 3,000 square feet, one child, and a vasectomy. I don't need any more room. I mean, there's one corner of the house upstairs that Jackie's converting into her yoga room. She's putting down a wood floor and a curtain and mirrors and Buddha shit. All that's going to be her yoga room. I mean...
Oh,
I could have a room just for checkers.
Oh, God. Your wife is amazing. I mean, does she walk around the house with a tool belt?
She is unbelievable, man. She just finished repainting this guy. She's unbelievable, man. I mean, it just never ends with her.
Wow.
Yesterday, 10 degrees, we get a foot of snow. What does she do? She puts the kid in the sled. And like a goddamn Clydesdale Budweiser horse, she walks the kid about a half a mile up through a blizzard to the local library, plays with her alone in the library, and then shuffles her home on the sled.
Wow. Hey, listen, any mothers that listen to this show, take a page out of the book of Jackie Coria.
Yeah.
I mean, not only laying down hardwood, but acting as a, I don't know, like you said, a Clydesdale or one of those dogs through the snow, to pulling her offspring to a library.
God. You should see. She paints and sandpapers and fixes and all this and stains. And then at the end of the night, she still got her pants on that she finished painting in. And she already cooked dinner and had it ready before she started painting. So when she was done painting, she could just heat up dinner for us. And then she's leaning over the tub. And Sadie's in the tub, and Jackie's in her pants filled with paint, and hands are clean, but everything else is still dirty. And she's going, what does a horsey do? What does a cow do? What color is this? What comes after two? I'm like, oh my God, she's teaching now. She's teaching.
Oh, man.
And if there are any mothers listening to the show, what you really need to do is get your kids vaccinated, you hippie fucking freaks. Cut this shit out. Vaccinate or keep the kid in the barn. You understand? I'm done with this shit.
Jeez.
Courtesy, consideration for others, common sense. That's what table manners are.
Okay, Pete. I am listening right now, and you seem dumbfounded over the fact that someone would put their napkin on their lap. I am really hoping that there's a fundamental misunderstanding with what Sebastian is talking about. I mean, come on. The napkin goes on the lap.
Now, a little bit about what to do with your napkin. This is a dinner napkin, so as soon as you sit down, you want to unfold your napkin and you want to place it in your lap. Now, we don't need to give it a healthy shake, do we? So unfold it to the point where it's folded half in two and place the folded side up next to your body so that you can blot when you need to. Now, I said blot. I didn't say rub and scrub, did I? Okay.
Hey, guys. This is Eddie from Chicago. Just wanted to mention the napkin feedback. Just call it a lapkin. Because it definitely goes on the lap. I'm on Sebastian's side with this one. All right, take care, guys.
If you want to leave the table and you do plan on returning, then there is a silent service code that would let the server know that you are going to be coming back, and that server will not remove your food until you do get back if you place your napkin in the right place. So that would not be back on the table if you are planning on returning. That would be just folded loosely, placed in the seat of your chair or across the arm of your chair. But when you have completely finished eating, your napkin does go back on the table to the left-hand side of your place setting, like so. Not folded, but just loosely to the left-hand side of your place setting. Never in your plate. If you put it in your plate, that would place you right into the hall of shame. So now we know what to do with our napkins. Let's talk about all of these utensils now.
Boring, boring.
What's up, boys? Brian from Jersey checking in, listening to episode 155. Had a little wager with Jimmy on the Super Bowl, so I'm just going to say Tom Brady is the best fucking quarterback alive. The best quarterback hands down in NFL history is fucking Tom Brady.
Inside joke. Inside joke.
Pistol Pete. Biscuit. Steve from Orlando here. Heavy listener. Love the show. Not the biggest fan of the show within the show, but I deal with it.
That is fine. I am not that impressed with Orlando.
Anyway, we work hard down here. We do custom socks. We love to make Pete and Sebastian a pair of custom socks for them to wear on stage.
Whee!
They might not go with the typical Sebastian-esque white pants or the Petey Bud Light, but hey, we'll get it done for you guys. Later!
Oh, I'm so ready! Just one more kid! Come on, baby!
Oh, you wear a size 10. I wear a size 10, too. How are we feeling about socks? Yeah, you know, I like shoes. Shoes are kind of a great accessory, but socks are a necessity. I'll get you any color. You know, a new pair of socks is like walking on clouds for a couple days. It's like that new car smell on your feet.
Whee!
Do you love socks?
Say, I love socks.
I love socks. Sock it to the baby. Wee!
Sock it to the baby. Your calls have been the show within a show. Please, if you'd like to leave a message or talk about socks, the hotline number is 716-638-0759. Please leave a message.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Now back to Pete and Sebastian.
Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
Give you the answer to that question, Mr. Bender, next Saturday.
I gotta tell you, right now I'm at the in-laws and I'm doing the cast, and my in-laws live on it's a little bay where they got, you know, body of water outside the house, and there's a boat that just pulled up. I say it's about 40 yards away from us, and it's a couple, and they're sitting out on the boat, and they're laying out. The guy's on the phone right now, but he's a little too close to the house, you know. Do I got right to go out there and go, "Okay, you want to keep it going?"
I'm thinking you do. I mean, let me ask you this: if you're at the edge of the lawn, right where the water starts, do you have to raise your voice much more than if you were just talking to a neighbor across the front lawn to hear him? Is he close enough? Like, if you just go, "Hey, man, how you doing?" like that loud.
I would have to project my voice a little bit. It would be more like, what's going on? You know, it's nothing like where I would have to. It's about 40 yards from the joint, just anchored there, getting sun. It's a slob, and he's on his phone and he's looking at the house like he's bothering me. Okay, I got another one. We had a listener email us. And she's got a dilemma, and she's asking what we would do. But this is a perfect, and I think we should make this a staple on the show. What would Pete do? This is the scenario. It's coming from Karen DeMattis. She writes, "Dear Pete and Sebastian, I have an etiquette question for you too. What do you do when you have a coworker that is completely in your grill, inspecting and commenting on your lunch or breakfast every day? We have a break room where the employees take breaks and lunches. This annoying coworker had to seek me out and make a comment every day about my lunch. It's not that exciting. I usually eat the same thing just about every day. Nothing exciting is happening." What would you do? She's asking, what would you do? What would a Pete do if a coworker is constantly commenting on your lunch or breakfast in the break room? How do you nip that in the bud?
If it is a guy, it sounds like it could be a real yo-yo that likes her and has no clue how to go about it. I mean, I've seen that move before. Who eats in the lunch room?
There you have it.
What are you doing, honey? Go out to the park. Get out of there. Get away from the schmuck. You don't have to eat in the lunch room, do you?
Great, great point. Get out of the lunch room. Get out of that area where... Oh, God. I used to go home. I used to live so close to home. During my lunch hour, I used to go take a full sleep. I used to get in my underwear, get back into bed like I was going to bed for the night.
Oh, that's fantastic. You wake up after lunch, and it's like your day is just starting. It's like you have a half a day.
Yeah.
I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing, and it was everything that I thought it could be.
What do I... Oh, I went out with Watt Monday night.
Oh, nice.
For the dinner. We had dinner at a restaurant in Los Angeles.
Was the table big enough?
The table was great. Great table. Put him on the booth side, and we ate like animals. I mean, we had a good amount of food. I couldn't finish my steak at the end, but this guy could eat like a horse. It's amazing. So he's doing good. Great guy. He was, you know, everybody asked me off air what you said to that guy at the hotel.
Yeah.
Everybody that I like, I'm close with, goes, we got in like Ron the masseuse.
Yeah,
I went to Ron the other day. He goes, what did Pete say? So I mean, that's like it's a nice little mystery. But if you're in the know and you're in the circle of friends, you'll know what Pete said, because it's hysterical. But yeah, that's the first thing he asked. What did Pete say? Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, man, I watched it. It was great.
What a great game, man.
Oh,
great game. I'm so glad New England won.
I really think at the very end of that game, I think our U.S. government official called down and told Pete Carroll, for the sake of America, we're dealing with ISIS, we need some country morale, we need Tom Brady to win, throw an interception, please. That's the only logical explanation, is that Pete Carroll did that for America. By the way, I just read that Tom Brady gave the guy who intercepted the ball, he gave him the truck.
Oh, he did?
I knew he was gonna. I'm literally watching TV going, the only reason he won't give the guy the truck on TV right now is because he's too classy to, like, make a big scene like that. But I bet you he gives him the truck. Because Tom Brady is so rich. If you look closely, when they handed him the keys for the truck for being MVP, they go, and here's your new truck. He literally kind of went like as if you just handed him a giant candy cane for a Christmas gift, you know? Like, he's like, so what, do I got to call somebody now to get this fucking thing out of here? Like, I mean...
It's like a hassle.
Yeah, it was a hassle. There's nothing you can give this guy that, you know, he doesn't already have, man. All right. I got nothing else, man. I'm sorry for the short show, but I got to download this.
No, it's okay, man. It's okay. You know, it's in and out. Quick, in and out. You're on the boat. I'm in Naples. I'll be in, where am I this week? I'll be in the Midwest in 2 feet of snow. And I start in Minnesota, then I go to Milwaukee on Friday and end it Saturday in Detroit. And the week after that, for Valentine's Day, I'll be at the Fort Lauderdale Hard Rockin' Casino performing at the Improv. So if you're looking for something to do with your beautiful wife, come bring her to the show. And Pete, you are on the boat 2 weeks?
2 weeks on the boat, but a lot of dates coming up everywhere from Syracuse, Funny Bone, to Hartford, Des Moines. Just go to PeteCorielli.com for those dates. Now we'll refocus, folks. All right, we got a little hopped up. We were looking at possible sitcom stardom. Got a little shot to the gut. We're going to turn this puppy up a notch, especially when I get back to land. We really appreciate the continued support for the Pete and Sebastian show, and we're glad you all liked having Jimmy on last week. It was a pleasure having him on.
Yeah, no, thanks for listening, and please spread the word. We are back. Not that we ever left, but we are back from TV fantasy land. We're back now. Hitting it hard on the show.
Amen, bro. Good hanging.
All right, take care.
Later.
The show has ended.
Can you imagine, on top of that, just finding out the sitcom show's not going, and now I'm sitting on the edge of a dock. Oh my! I can't even get on the boat to jump off it.